good afternoon. It's 1:40 p.m. on May 19th. I'm late walking today because it's been kind of a drizzly, cold, nasty day, and I was hoping that it would warm up and be more pleasant for the walk. And so I neglected to go out early, and as a result, I'm having to take time that the house actually remains empty and quiet, and I can't use it because I'm walking. Now, the truth is that I've had an hour and a little bit to get some work done, puttered about a bit. Mostly, I wanted to record today, but the cats have been on a tear. So I'm hoping that when I get back, they'll have quieted down, and I'll be able to spend 2 hours or so recording some of the audio that I need to get together for Abby Hilton. We'll see how that works out. Might work, might not. For those of you who don't follow Twitter, you might not have seen the news that Brian Gamblin's new book is out finally, Discount Miracles. It's a very interesting idea. He's been talking to me about it, oh gosh, I don't know, for a year or so now. And so I like the idea a lot. I've got a copy of the book. I haven't seen it yet. And he dedicated it to me, bless his heart. But I haven't seen it. I have some ideas about what he's going to do with the story, but I haven't figured out, I don't know what it is exactly, so I haven't seen it. Cheyenne Wright did the cover, very nice cover. Cheyenne Wright is I think he's been Hugo nominated, actually. Anyway, so yeah, Discount Miracles, Brian Gamblin, it's on Amazon and also on Smashwords. That should be an interesting book. It actually plays with the idea that Arthur C. Clarke postulated that any technology sufficiently advanced is indistinguishable from magic. By taking a starship crew and stranding them on a derelict world. So it should be interesting. Brand is very good at this kind of stuff. Should be a very interesting story. I'm looking forward to reading it. Let's see what else. I guess it warmed up enough. It was just barely 55 when I walked out the door, so I put on a sweater and a jacket. But now I regret both, I think. It's getting to be quite warm out. Of course, it also built up some heat. We're only a few days away from Balticon. That's a good thing. I've got ground transportation from the airport out to the hotel. I've got confirmation from the Marriott. I'll be staying there. Not quite sure which room, but that should be fun. 4 or 5 days. 4 days there. Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday. 4 days there. Flying on Thursday, flying on Tuesday. So I haven't managed to track down the stuff I need to get to Sigler's universe yet. I need to do that today, too, so that at least I have it lined up. So if I have any questions, I'll be able to ask Sigler, Scott, or A when I see them in Baltimore. I'm getting a lot of email comments from people about double share. And as I sort of expected, and I should have expected more of it, I suppose, because when double share came out in audio, God, there were three things that people complained about, really. One was they didn't go to the university. We didn't see what he did at the academy. And as many times as I've answered that question, I still get an awful lot of people who want to ask it. There is no cadet share. Easy. And I think the bigger issue, really, because I did set out to write Port Newmar, I actually sat down and had it in a word processor and thought, what am I going to say? What kind of story do I want to write here? Every other place, every other time, every other book I've ever done, I've had a reason for writing the story. And for that one, I don't. So the question becomes really, back to school, bedtime for Bonzo. I mean, those two, and it's not a movie, but the Young Miles. Those three stories pretty well sum it up. And particularly now that I've gotten Ishmael more or less grown up and suffered his first major loss, his second major loss, his third really, but he doesn't count his father because he didn't really remember his father. But to go back and tell the story of Ishmael and Pip in school, at the academy. Really, why? You know, I understand the desire to spend more time with characters you like. And I do too. But I don't really know what the story would be. You know, how he finds financing. With all the people complaining about it's not science fiction, it's a thinly disguised treatise on economics, I really don't want to add to that the thinly disguised treatise on education. And part of it is, I think that there's a lot of commentary built into this work that I think most people, I think I did by accident. That it's a default state, that the relationship of Burnside, the legal implications of Maloney's not being able to fire Rossett, that's not weird. That's not a big stretch. That's not really that far off. There are circumstances now where employers are unable to fire employees, not because they're unable to, but because they're unwilling to take the risk that the employee will turn around and file a lawsuit. Which is really, if you read the book carefully at the end, what Maloney says. So yeah, they think it's silly, they think it's stupid, they think it's unrealistic, and yet they, at the same time, don't think it's science fiction because it's too much like now. The idea that we would still, 300 years from now, be making coffee by grinding beans and dripping water through it in deep space. You know what? I don't have any problem with that. The reality is we're going to have to figure out how to store stuff long term. That's one of the things that people really haven't paid a lot of attention to, is that's food storage. It's all this stuff that they take on in each port and put aboard for 6, 8, 10, 12, 14 weeks at a time. We'll get into it a little bit in Content Share, where we start talking about fresh food and storage and ready lockers and the like. But there's some really interesting questions about how do we store eggs for 5 months. Science fiction. Easy as that. It's interesting to me, because it's on the one hand, it's like, did you read the book? And the other hand is, I sort of see what you mean, but... And for me, the question then becomes one of, well, did I really put in the book what I thought I put in the book? Because I thought it was in there. But just because I think it's in there doesn't mean it really is. Also getting some interesting comments on punctuation and double share. I had a feeling that would come, because it is the standard that Ryden follows, for example, to take out the comma that typically falls before the word T-O-O. In most common usage, if I wanted to go along with someone, if I wanted to go to the beach with someone, I would say, I would like to go too. And the punctuation on that sentence would have a comma before the two. And Ryden took them all out. Not by accident, they took them out on purpose. Apparently it's one of the latest changes in the style guide for Chicago Manual not to use those commas. The problem is that most of the people who read the books look at the missing commas and say, oh, Jesus, if he only had a better editor, then he wouldn't have made this mistake. Except that it's not a mistake. It's the editor's choice to follow the style guide. And they did. So, you know, part of it is, it's okay, because people are reading the books and they care about the books enough to complain. If they didn't care enough about the books to complain, that would be a much larger problem, I think. I still have, you know, about five times more fives than ones. So, in terms of reviewing on Amazon, that's working out okay. I've got a lot of threes on this book. That's not too surprising either, I don't think. Actually, Half Share was the one where I expected to get a lot of threes. Half Share is the one that's really, really off. Because at that stage in Fly Fishing Well, it was really off. And a lot of people picked up on it. And because of it, they didn't like the book. And I really did take that as, yeah, and you really don't like Ishmael here either, because he's not a very likable character in that book. And he has some good points, he has some issues, and he works through some of them. But we don't get to see them all. And again, it's Ishmael's story. And he only tells the story that he wants people to know. It doesn't necessarily tell the whole story. It doesn't necessarily tell the whole truth. And that was part of the plan, part of the idea that Ishmael's words would be accurate in his description but flawed in his interpretation. And the degree to which I succeeded in that, I don't know, we'll see. I think I succeeded quite well. There's a lot of people who think that I just totally screwed the pooch, but that's okay. Whenever, this is my new mantra, whenever I start thinking about, oh my God, I got another 3-star review, I got another 1-star review, I go read Nora Roberts' reviews. Because Nora Roberts she's an amazing writer. The more I read of Nora Roberts, the more amazed I get, the more intrigued I become by how she's able to write these dual point of view characters, where for a couple of paragraphs you see through one character's eyes, and then the scene shifts so that you're looking through the other character's eyes, and the scene might shift back again. Now, if I were to do that and submit that to an editor, the editor would say, oh, well, Jesus, you can't do all this head hopping. This is just ridiculous. It's not acceptable. And probably they'd be right, because it would be noticeable. Well, when I read Nora Roberts, I don't notice it, because I do notice that stuff. I notice when an author plays head hopping games. I notice when authors play stupid games with verb tense. And if I don't notice, then it's okay, it works. But if I notice it, a great example of this was K.W. Jeter's Kim O. book. The first one that he put out. I think there's a couple in the series now, but I did a blurb for the first one. He sent it to me, and I read it, and it was like, what the hell is this? It was totally fragmented. It was totally, I don't want to say postmodern, because it wasn't quite that fragmented, but it was, there were parts of it that were past tense, like she was telling you the story that happened in the past, and there were parts of it that were in present tense, like it was happening to her right now, and she was telling you about it as it happened, and then she'd go back into past tense again. And it was staggeringly well done. I didn't even notice he was doing it until three quarters of the way through the book, and then I caught it, and I thought, what the hell? And then I realized he'd been doing it all along. And it was staggering. It was very well done. There were a couple of flaws. There were a couple of plot holes in it that I frankly didn't think they were that big a deal. I was willing to forgive the plot hole because it was such a fun ride. It was such a fun thing. The idea of this accountant turned assassin. It worked for me. But I was, you know, it's not to like. It was fun romp. So I notice that stuff, but if it bumps me out of the story, then it doesn't work. And if it doesn't work, then I don't like it. And I read Nora Roberts, and it's just as smooth as watered silk. It slides through my mind, and I'm willing to go right along with it. It's gorgeous stuff. But she gets away with it because she's Nora Roberts. Oh. I suspect you're picking up the wind artifact in the headset. It's quite breezy at times here. I just come up through past the end of the park. I'm coming by the big cottonwood tree. I'm almost home. And so I'll go home and get this posted and then get some recording done. I'm going to make chicken soup or something for supper. The fam will be back 2, 4, 6-ish. The show starts at 2. It's about 2 hours, 2.5. Take them an hour to get out of town, get back up here. Yeah, it was a good thing I took a walk. I probably should have taken it earlier when it was wet and raining and everything, but I didn't. Oh, well. Live and learn. This makes me think of my sister. My sister regularly raises a pair of veal calves through the summer, fattens them out through the summer, and has them slaughtered in the fall. And one year she took them an extra year, so she took them through the winter. She named them Rump and Loin. And whenever I say live and learn, I think of those two calves, rump and loin, as in live and loin. Anyway, odd story, but I'm at the back gate. Tomorrow is another day. I'll talk to